Welcome back to the Renaissance.
Yo.
My little Jason Mewes lookalike.
Thank you. I think he's even taller than I am. Damn it. All I got, the only person I got beat is Michael J. Fox, and I'm not even sure about Al Pacino, but I'll take what I can get.
So, what's going on with you today, Papa Bear?
I took my girls to the high school to get their class schedule. Funny enough, don't make fun of this because you respect me. It was the same high school I went to, so I had flashbacks that I couldn't tell most of them about to my wife because it involved women in bathrooms and kissing in the hallway and getting in trouble. Anyway, so I had...
Hi, can you help me? What's your name? My name's Roosevelt Lee Roosevelt. Roosevelt, what town are you stationed in? I'm stationed in Poontang. Well, thank you, Roosevelt. What's the weather like out there? It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot. Hot in this is my shorts. I can cook things in it. Little crotch pot cooking. Well, can you tell me what it feels like? Fool, and it's hot. I told you again. Were you born on the sun? It's damn hot. You can be a little thing. I saw it so damn hot. I saw one of those little guys in the orange robe burst into flames. It's that hot. You know what I'm talking about. Well, what do you think it's going to be like tonight? It's going to be hot and wet. That's nice if you're with a lady, but it ain't no good if you're in the jungle. Thank you, Roosevelt. Here's a song coming your way right now. Nowhere to Run To by Martha and the Vandellas. Yeah.
I went to Poontang High. That was the unofficial name for it. Yeah. Anyway.
It was hot and wet.
Hot and wet.
All the time.
Yes. So anyways, a little flashback.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
But go ahead. Yeah. So I just got really bored with your story there in the middle of it.
I just had to play something. It's like Vegas all over again. Fuck. Go ahead.
Let's get on to Leonardo.
What episode number is this?
This is episode 151 of The Renaissance, not of Leonardo, although it feels like episode 151 of Leonardo.
But he's worthy. He's worthy.
He is worthy. The 37, 38, this would be Leonardo 39, this would be.
Gotcha.
Yeah. All right. 39 episodes of Leonardo da Vinci. And we're up to the late sort of 1490s at this stage, boys and girls. And his life is starting to unravel a little bit in the late 1490s. It's not going well. It's been going pretty good for the last 10 years or so. He's been in Milan. He's at the top of the charts in Milan. If you have the Hot 100 artist charts, artist/scientist engineer charts.
He's up there.
He's at the top of those. But towards the end of the 1490s, he's sort of finishing The Last Supper, really proud of the work that he's done on this new fresco technique. Cutting edge innovation on that. His mother, who had been living with him, his dirty hoe mother, had him out of wedlock.
Right. She was 16.
had been living with him in Milan for the last year after her husband died. She died.
Aww.
And the bronze for the giant horse statue that he's supposed to be building for Sforza, of Sforza's father, on horse, it got diverted by Sforza to make cannon to fight the French.
God dang.
And it looks like it's not going to be replaced anytime soon. In fact, he's not getting a lot of work from Ludovico Sforza at the moment.
He's preoccupied. He's busy. Yeah, and not with
what's going on with Sforza, right?
Well, Sforza has got where he's at. Sforza's got where he's at by shaking his saber. Well, there's other people with bigger sabers to shake, and it turns out one of those is the French King Louis, I think the 12th. And so, now correct me if I'm wrong, did the French throne have a claim on the throne in Naples? I'm trying to remember. I know there's some internal going on, but yeah, you got to kind of go by Milan to go any further south into Italy. And Sforza, rightly so, is nervous that he's about to lose everything that he has worked so hard for and killed for. There's some outside pressure, and Sforza's like, how do I deal with fighting this massive country?
Sforza's a little bit busy. The only commissions he's giving Leonardo are for interior design work, and these don't go well
for a variety of reasons. Do you know who I think I am?
Oh.
Fucking Leonardo. Anyway.
Well, that's not to say that interior design works not outside of his remit. He's done a lot of theater. He's done a lot of set design.
Is it a step down? Is it a step?
Well, it's I think so. Well, I think it's not what he wants to be doing at this juncture of his career. Like, he's nearly 50.
Yeah, he's getting old.
Leonardo.
Yeah.
Speaking as somebody in his 50s. His best days are well behind him.
Do you have a birthday coming up?
No.
When is your birth? What month?
No, do you? We've been working together for 9 years.
Hold on, who is
and
this?
You don't know when my birthday is.
What's his name?
Yeah. Cheryl?
What's his name? Cam.
That
Cam.
Alzheimer's is really advancing, isn't
it? Well, I'm a little older than you, so my Alzheimer's is more advanced than yours.
Yeah.
But pretty soon we're going to end up just staring at each other at the screen going, what? What?
Who are you?
What'd you say?
Why am I here?
What are we doing? Actually, we kind of do that anyway. But
anyway. It's a normal show. He was hired to paint a small set of rooms in the Sforza castle.
Uh-huh.
Most famously, one called the Sala delle Asse, the Room of the Axis.
Salad ass.
Yeah.
Right?
Salad ass. Ass salad is what it was called.
I'll have to order one of those next time I'm in a fancy restaurant. Can I have the ass salad, please? Thank you.
Yeah. Reminds me of the first name of Van Halen before they became Van Halen. Right. They were Mammoth for a while, but before Mammoth, I think they were Rat Salad, which I always thought was a good name for a band, Rat Salad.
We should do a tribute cover. We should, our own band, tribute band, Rat Salad. I think we could bring that back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Eddie's son, Wolfgang, is now positioning himself as Mammoth WVH. Mammoth being an early Van Halen name.
Right.
So he's Mammoth WVH version.
Right.
The Wolfgang Van Halen version. So we'll go back one. We'll call ourselves the Rat Salad Cam and Ray edition.
And I'm
going. Anyway, how's your drumming? I'll play the guitar.
I one-handed drumming, there is no one who can touch me. If you know what I mean. Right. I'm too busy touching
You can't touch this. Yeah.
I'm too busy touching it.
I touch myself. You can't touch this. We need to do a mashup of the Divinals.
Yes. Well, I think I'm a great drummer.
And Hammer.
A solo drummer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get on with it. So he'd been hired to paint a small set of rooms.
Yeah.
And he had really ambitious plans for them, of course, because he's motherfucking Da Vinci. But he got fired, sadly. One of the Duke's secretaries wrote in June of 1496, the painter who was decorating the Camerini, camera in Italian is a room, camera, and Camerini would be a small room,
right.
Caused something of a scandal today, and for this reason he has left.
No
details on what the scandal is, but I like the fact that he just refers to him as the painter.
Yeah, how about the fuck
hello?
You? Yeah.
Yeah, how about you get down on your fucking knees and don't look me in the eyes? I'm Leonardo da Vinci, you
unless
cunt.
I tell you
the painter.
To look me in the eyes.
Oh my god.
You're sucking.
Yeah.
No. I mean, but so Ludovico's got the French. He's diverted the bronze for a cannon. He's freaking out. He hasn't got time for an artist. You've got the secretary who probably does not appreciate or care about Leonardo. And we're going to see later on, you know, Leonardo's like, wait a minute, I have to stop and, you know, earn money because you bitches aren't paying me. So I had to do this. I think he's got the attitude of the first podcaster. It's like, I shouldn't have to work for a living. I'm an artist. But the point is, he gets so pissed off. Either he walks away or they kick him out. But you're right, that he had a beautiful concept for this room with the intertwining trees that were going to go up. And I'm sure you've seen pictures. That, you know, pretty impressive idea. But because it's Leonardo, the execution does not match up with the conception.
Well, I'm not sure about that. No. I think that, I don't know what this scandal was.
Right.
You know, probably he painted a dick in the middle of it and somebody spotted it. He was like a little secret dick in there.
Yeah.
You know what he's like? Loves to throw a dick in things.
There's a dick over there.
Paintings as well as young boys. Right. I don't know what it is, but the secretary asked if somebody could be sent from Venice to finish the
this
work.
Is serious.
But Leo got rehired to finish the job in 1498, just as he was finishing the Last Supper. So obviously, you know, Sforza, between 1496 and 1498, had a think about it for 2 years, and then went, no, I think he's the guy. No, we want to give it to him.
Did they hire Leo back, or did he just put on, like, a disguise, reapply? I know I can do this, you know, whatever, but...
I come from Venice. There's lots of water in the streets. I love it. It's very good.
I got you back. Yeah.
There are other problems, though. As you say, in his notebooks, he has drafts of letters to Ludovico, complaining that he hadn't been paid for 2 years and had to take these other shitty jobs just to make some money instead of finishing the Last Supper, which is what he should be doing. Not that the Last Supper is a commission by Sforza, but still, it's a big deal for Milan, as we'll see in a minute. Mm-hmm. Particularly, the French king was a big fan.
Right.
I don't know why he hasn't been paid. I guess there's problems with the treasury. Sforza's gearing up for war.
Yes.
Leonardo's, it's not just him now. We know he's got a massive retinue of assistants, lovers, hangers-on, friends, whatever that he has to pay for.
Whatever. Students, yeah.
Could you go for 2 years without getting paid?
I could go 2 years without working, but I would still need to be paid. No, 2 years is too long.
You've gone 9 years on our podcast without working, and you keep expecting to get paid for some reason. I don't know what the fucking deal is with that.
Why do I have a bad attitude about that? That's the question. But yeah, no, but he's got to take these side gigs, and I like that he writes, "It vexes me greatly that having to earn my living has forced me to interrupt the work and to attend to small matters instead of following up the work which your lordship entrusted to me." So again, he's bitching about having to earn a living. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the first podcaster. That's his attitude.
He's like, listen, this Last Supper that I don't think you understand. This Last Supper that I'm working on.
And you got to hold up your finger. Cam's holding up his finger. I don't think you quite grasp.
It's the last Supper that anyone will ever paint.
They will copy me from now on. This is it.
It's literally going to fall off the wall within 20 years. But still
the best.
500 years from now, this is all anyone's going to think about when they think about Last Supper paintings. Like, I'm not fucking around here.
I've got a nail in the wall, and I got perspectives coming out of my ass, and the folded sheets. And no. This is me drawing on a line under the Last Supper. You're done.
Yeah.
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 That's high praise.
So he's not happy.
No.
Now this, you mentioned before that one of the rooms that he's painting, the ass salad room,
right,
is a fresco. So for people that haven't seen it, picture a relatively small room like this room that I'm sitting in right now.
Yeah.
In each of the corners, there's a pillar.
Right.
Keep the room up. Yep. And then sort of in the middle of each of the corners is another pillar.
Gotcha.
Keeping that thing up. They call that what's the roof, I think. Yeah. Sorry, my it's been a while since I did my engineering degree.
Roof, yes. Let me look that up. Yes, roof.
Yeah, roof, right. Roof. He's going to paint all of these pillars as trees and then blooming out of the top of them is just this complex intertwining branches spreading out, foliage everywhere, axle foliage.
Top.
Beautiful. Yeah, that doesn't work with the lag that we have on Skype. You're like just half a beat behind me, and it's echo. Well, yeah, you'll edit it together. It's just hard when I'm trying to sing. Well, you're like singing out of time.
I was kind of hoping you would shut up and let me take over, but you didn't.
You didn't tag me.
Okay, there we go. No, but you're right. The branches are going to be intertwined. There's mathematical equations going on. I mean, the concept, absolutely glorious. And we talked a billion times about him. He likes to do things like curling hair in paintings. Where here he's going to do knots and with branches and vines, and you know it is, you know,
golden rope. This golden rope threaded through the trees, yes, tied into complex knots.
Amazing.
But because he was a smarty pants, it's a fresco.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, look, you came to the right guy because I just invented this new fresco. Fuck this painting on wet plaster bullshit.
Bullshit.
That's for the That's for amateurs.
Right.
I've invented this new way of doing it where I can take my damn time. Right. And you know I like to take my time because I'm Leonardo da Vinci.
I'm a slow stroker. Right. Yeah.
So unfortunately, this fresco ended up fading like the Last Supper fresco.
Right.
And in 1499, when Milan was taken over, invaded by the French army under King Louis the 12th, the King of France was a big fan of Louis, the new King of France, but fan of Leo. Too many L's. The new King of France, right, Louis, was a big fan of Leo.
Yes, yes. Good job.
But over the centuries, several foreign countries invaded Milan and took control of the French, the Spanish, the Austrians, Napoleon.
Yes.
And the Sforza Castle tended to be used for military purposes. It was like a fortress, and they'd station armies and keep their ammo dumped there and whatever.
Right.
And the walls of the room were painted over in white.
Oh, they whitewashed a Leonardo.
Literally. Whitewashed a Leonardo.
Yes, yes. Wasn't it kind of forgotten? Because, you know, it's not like everybody got to see it. It was inside Ludovico's castle.
Yeah, and then it gets painted over in white, and, you know, 100 years later, no one remembers that there used to be a thing on there, Leonardo da Vinci.
Oh.
When Italy was unified in 1861, the castle was sort of run down, and people were talking about tearing the whole castle down.
Wow.
But then a couple of decades later, an Italian architect, Luca Beltrami, decided to restore the castle.
Mm-hmm.
And there was still some traces of Leonardo's work under the paint. You could see it under the... You could see it coming through the white paint. Obviously, they probably didn't do enough coats over it.
Sure.
So Beltrami hired someone to restore it around 1901 and... They kind of fucked it. They painted monkey heads all over it. So they tried to fix it in 1950. Apparently the problem with the original restoration is it was too bright.
Right.
The colours were too bright. And people went, that's not how Leonardo would have done it.
No, natural.
So they toned it down in 1950. And it's been in another restoration, mostly to protect it from aging and damage.
Right.
For the last 10 years, it's still going on.
Yeah.
Since 2012, they've been restoring it bit by bit again. So you can go and see it today, I think, when you're in Milan. But, you know, whether and how close it is to Leonardo's work is disputable. A bit like The Last Supper, which you can see it, but how much of it is Leonardo's work and how much of it is the various restorations that have been done over the years.
Or his students or whatever, assistants, whatever. So, yeah, how much of it did he actually touch with his own brush? But, yeah, so it's just one of those things we'll never know. I would still like to check it out. I bet it would be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have to go to Milan after all this and do the Milan tour next time we're in Italy.
Yes.
Next year, by the way. Next year I'm going to Italy.
Oh, okay.
So you're not invited. I'm just letting you know that I'm going there next year to practice my Italian.
Right. On who? On a 16-year-old peasant girl? Anyway.
If I can get Chrissy to agree to a bit of a, you know, bit of a three-way, sure. Yes.
I didn't want to skip over this, but you mentioned a second ago that the French king. So if you haven't gotten to this in your narrative, I'll stop. But so, well, actually, that's a part of the timeline, so I guess I shouldn't bring that up yet. I apologize. I'll edit all that out. Well,
if in doubt, leave it out.
Leave it out. Pull it out.
Yeah.
Leave it out.
Pull it out. Leave if it in out. Doubt, pull yeah. it out.
Just don't put it in. Just don't put it in. Anyway, where were we?
Thrusting away and you go, no, this isn't working for me.
Something's wrong.
Something's not right.
What's your name again? Anyway. Yeah. Where were we?
Which one of my daughter's high school friends are you? I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking, when we're dead, 30 years from now.
Right.
Your children.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking Kiki and Sophie here in particular are going to, of your many children. Those
two, right.
Are going to go, I wonder what my dad did all those years.
Let me,
when he was downstairs in the basement. and they're going to listen to our podcasts.
Right.
And they're going to hear us talking, laughing about D'Angelo and...
That's not my greatest concern. My greatest concern is 50 years from now, someone's going to listen to all of our recordings and they're going to go, well, this is tricky for me because on one hand, they were brilliant historians. They could pierce a subject. They could interpret it. They could get to it. And they were honest. They told us when they didn't know. On the other hand, they deserved a rotten hell for about 25% of what they said. They pervs, they should be in jail, but they are the most historically accurate perverts I've ever heard. And, you know, it's a mixed bag. It's a mixed blessing, but I think that's the best.
Why do you care if they say that 50 years? We're dead 50 years from now. Yeah, who cares?
But your name, your lineage, not your lineage, your reputation. You don't care. You don't care.
No. Shit. No, don't care.
All right. Okay, scratch all that.
So, after the arse salad didn't go well for him...
Right, left a bad taste.
He started drafting job applications. Oh. So he's nearly 50. And I was there. I was in my late 40s drafting job applications.
Right.
You know, when my marketing business was going down the tubes a few years ago.
Yeah.
I was like, shit, I'm nearly 50 and I'm going to have to get a job.
Did you do what Leonardo did with this particular example?
Yes, I did. I just made up. I sent letters to people saying, you know who's really good? That Cameron Riley guy. You should hire him.
You're a fool if you don't hire him.
He wrote a letter
right?
in the third person.
Sure.
To the council of Piacenza, nearby town. They were looking for someone to build some brass doors for their cathedral.
That's next.
He had brass balls.
Yes.
Yeah.
To do what he did.
He wrote them a letter in the third person, right? So not from Leonardo, but from just a concerned local citizen.
John Smith.
That said, open your eyes and look carefully that your money is not spent as to purchase your own shame.
Oh.
There is not a man who is capable, and you may believe me, except Leonardo the Florentine, who is making the bronze horse of the Duke Francesco.
Oh, you got to get this guy. He's busy, but you got to get him.
That's a Trump move.
Yes,
there's this great story about... Trump,
decades
ago.
Well, didn't he fake calling? He was a reporter. He was pretending to be a reporter or something. I'm trying to remember.
No, he's pretending to be a PR agent.
Oh, okay.
Calling journalists.
That's right.
To
backwards.
Talk about how great Trump is and how they should do a story about him.
Yeah. Now, this is how the...
See?
Go ahead.
Trump is a genius. He's a very stable genius because he's basically doing the same sort of things as Leonardo.
But I think the reporters caught on to it when he started the conversation like this. Now, I'm going to talk like Donald Trump, but only because I'm such a huge fan, I can't help myself. So ignore the voice, focus on the words. All right. That's how it went. For fuck's sake.
When the French invaded Milan in 1499, Ludovico fled the city. So the story here for kids at home playing along, Chucky 8, we all remember Chucky 8.
Yes.
Chucky 8, Savonarola said he was the hand of God. Right. He was going to come in. He was going to cleanse.
Purge, whatever.
Purged the whole thing.
Yeah.
He was going to purge Florence like... Zelensky's purging Kiev at the moment.
Except for Savonarola was going to purge homosexuals. But anyway, please, go ahead.
Yeah. Don't you love that when Zelensky's getting rid of everybody?
Yeah.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of ministers. or government officials, sorry.
Right.
It's the way it's portrayed in the West is in the media is Zelensky's, you know, getting rid of cracking down on corruption, and blah 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 blah. If Putin got rid of a couple of people, it'd be purge. Mass war's murder. Not going well.
Yeah.
It's not going well. He's having to purge. He's, you know, he can't trust anyone. He's paranoid.
Just like Stalin.
He's blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
When Zelensky does it, you know, it's a legend. He's a legend. Legendary. Can't do anything wrong. When, if Putin was to do it, it'd be a purge.
Spin.
No mention of a purge in any of the Zelensky coverage.
He's a good guy.
Chucky 8.
Yes.
Instead of coming in and cleaning up Florence, he died in 1498.
Inconveniently, yes.
Inconveniently died.
Yeah.
Childless, which I don't know how you, the King of France, and died childless.
Legitimate.
Shooting blanks, heir. I guess.
Legitimate. He probably had tons of
kids. Yeah.
Yeah. But
probably.
Legitimate children, yes.
Bit like you. So the Duke of Orléans succeeded him as Louis the 12th of France.
Right.
What's a nickname for Louis the 12th? Just L12. Anyway, D12 was Eminem's on the side hustle rap band, hip hop group from his younger days.
I did not know that. L12.
Anyway,
yes.
Duke of Orléans,
mm-hmm.
aka L12, had been in Milan in 1494.
Oh,
with Chucky 8.
Right,
they did a they did a.
They
visit.
Were on tour.
You know,
yeah,
they were hanging out.
Right,
and he sort of had a claim, Louis XII, to Milan as a role of hereditary.
Right.
It was supposed to be his. You know, the Sforzas
kind of
just
stepped
up
in.
And stole
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
But during that visit, when they were kind of going to make a claim, listen, Ludovico,
right?
The Moor,
right?
Yeah, you should just, you know, fuck right off,
right?
Because this belongs to me now.
Yes,
but Sforza's wife, Beatrice d'Este, the sister of Isabella d'Este, who we'll talk about again in coming episodes,
right?
Smart, ambitious. Well-educated,
mm-hmm.
charming, yes. beautiful. She was able to placate the French with her charms.
Ah.
So we say,
Yep. No!
So her charms.
I'm disgusted and aroused at this point.
She was also, I don't know if you know this, she was appointed the governor of Milan at one point.
Oh, wow. No. I did not know.
Yeah.
That. Okay.
Well, Ludovico
right.
suffered a stroke.
Oh,
they think
she stepped in.
Scholars believe.
Right.
And yeah, she stepped in.
I got this.
And
I got this.
Ran the joint. Yeah. Like astounding for the 1400s. Yeah. This woman just goes, I got this. Hold my beer.
Okay.
And held the place together because of the loyalty of the nobility towards her. She was very well liked, apparently.
Smart.
But
yes.
She died in childbirth in 1497.
That's right.
Oh, so
what a blow.
Sforza's lost the Beatrice card.
Yes.
Now, despite the fact that he was fucking Lucrezia Crivelli,
sure.
her lady-in-waiting, and knocked her up at the same time that he knocked up his wife.
That's how you know you're doing it right. Go ahead.
Yeah. He wasn't going to die childless, that's for sure.
No.
He was making damn sure of that.
Anyway, go.
Despite the fact that he was fucking her lady in waiting, he went mad with grief when Beatrice died.
Right.
Possibly because now he didn't know what he was going to do with the French.
Yeah.
And he just locked himself in his apartments for weeks and weeks.
Oh my God.
Allowed his beard to grow. From then on, he wore only black clothes with a cloak torn up by a beggar.
Is he Johnny?
He went out into the street and said, find me a beggar.
what?
Well, I don't want a rich person to tear up my cloak. That's no good.
Yeah.
I need a beggar. It's, it, only beggars know how to rip shit.
That's true.
Properly, if you've ever noticed. Yeah.
Basically, he was going for the Johnny
beggars
Cash.
Are good for nothing except one thing, right. Ripping up shit.
Yes.
That's all they're good for.
You can bring them
He's
in.
He's going for Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash, the man in black.
Look, yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's insane. Yeah. Oh, that's
so he sort of, a bit like our old friend Nero,
mm-hmm.
when Poppaea died, he kind of goes into this massive grief here. His only concern at this point, yeah. apparently, apart from grieving, is building the, or embellishing the family mausoleum.
Right.
And making it worthy of her. And sort of stop paying attention to the running of the state. Now, this is not a good time to take your eye off the ball when the French are coming.
Right.
But this is probably the other reason why Leonardo's not getting a lot of work out of him in these last couple of years. Sforza's just had this mental and emotional breakdown.
Yes.
Breakdown. You don't think of that. Sforza, you think of him as... and this is one of the things we'll explore later on, is, you know, you kind of think of him as being this tyrant, tyrannical ruler of a city, iron fist, Saddam Hussein without the mustache.
Swarthy sex machine. Yeah, go ahead.
Like Nero and like Caligula, I would say that history has not treated Ludovico Sforza fairly.
Good point. Good point.
Historians now are starting to revisit
mm-hmm.
the Sforza legacy and going, you know what, he's not as bad as people like Machiavelli made him out to be.
Right.
Too long we believed Machiavelli's version of Sforza, and really the evidence doesn't support the fact that he was this brutal tyrant. In fact, he was a pretty good guy, pretty good ruler.
Yeah.
Particularly compared to his older brother and father, I guess.
Yeah, they were just dead.
Anyway.
Yes.
So one contemporary wrote, Ludovico, who used to draw every vigor of mind from the provident and strong advice of his wife Beatrice d'Este, having been kidnapped by her death a few years earlier, found himself isolated and devoid of daring and courage.
Aww.
To the point that he did not see another escape against the fiery storm that threatened him, if not in fleeing, and so he did.
Yeah, beginning of the early September. Is this 1500 or 1499? I'm trying to...
This would be 1499
September. He fucks off. Now, I could feel a lot... This is going to sound bad, and I don't mean it to, but I could have a lot more sympathy for Ludovico if he was whiter, lighter. I don't know. What's... politically correct. If he was more like myself, crackerish.
One eighth Cherokee.
But only 1/8. I'm barely tolerated by the rest of the crackers. Please continue.
Hello, I got something for that.
I'm sure you do.
Just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
That's right. That's exactly right. Title of my life.
Yeah. L12 entrusted the leadership of the army for the conquest of Milan to the famous leader Gian Giacomo Trivulzio.
Wow.
Who, among other things, was a personal enemy of Ludovico Sforza.
Oh.
they had a history,
yes.
These guys. A bit like you and J. David Markham. They had this... They had a long and personal just rivalry, history. Who does Cameron love more?
Right.
That kind of thing.
It got ugly. It got ugly in Vegas. I'm not going to lie. I was ready to
throw it out. Yeah, really.
But he won by ordering more expensive drinks than I did, and you were paying for them. So I think that was his victory lap. But we don't have to go into details. It's not important.
And he just won't stop talking. It's hard to, you know.
Yeah,
my good friends!
I looked for the off switch, could not find it.
Trivulzio was born in Milan,
right.
Where he studied with Galeazzo Maria Sforza.
Right.
And he was born about 1440, but he's about 25. He followed Galeazzo into France to help King Louis the 11th of France.
Right.
And then he something went on over time. He had a falling out, mm-hmm. basically, mm-hmm. with the Sforza family. Right. Didn't end well, and so he basically hates the Sforzas right. after that.
And now he's got his revenge, because the king says, "This city, I want you to run it for me." Yes, sir. And so, yeah, Ludovico's gone. He's in charge. He's sitting in the Lude's chair.
Yeah, well, the Lude ran away, right. and when Trivulzio arrived in Milan, the people just opened the gates, welcomed him in. Now, and this is why Machiavelli blamed Ludovico and the taxation policy that he had been carrying out, I guess, to prepare for the war.
Right.
Got to get the dinero.
Yes.
Molto dinero.
Exactly.
And he sort of blamed him for all of this, and the people hate him. But I'm like, come on, he gave us the Last Supper.
Yeah.
You know, and Leonardo was a fucking nobody right. before he got to Milan.
He's there for almost 20 years.
We have Ludovico to thank for Leonardo.
Thank you, Moore.
Moore. We need more.
We need more Moores.
More.
Right.
More. Yeah. Ludovico apparently heard through the grapevine that the people weren't happy with the French being in control of things.
Right.
On one hand, they were happy to let him in, but I guess, you know, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
It's like you leave your wife for the mistress, the hot blonde,
yes.
sexy blonde.
Right. Right.
And then 6 months into it, you realize that she's actually fucking bipolar. Right. And
French.
The good sexy part wears off after she starts throwing glasses at you and deliberately cutting herself and bleeding and saying she's going to call the cops and tell them you did it.
I'm not going back to that. You know. Never again.
No.
Never again. No,
three or four times after that. Yeah, there's enough.
I wised up. Yeah, it took four times.
And then you want to go back to the ex, right? Because you're like, oh, shit, looking I pretty fucked good. Up. Fucked looking up pretty bad. Good, yeah. Fucked up bad.
Like, but the crazy bitch is in your house. What are you going to do? You know, they're running the place. So what are you going to do?
Oh, my God. I had a story. I was dating this chick once. And, it was crazy. She was crazy. Hot, right. but crazy. Smart. Really, really smart.
Right.
And just crazy. Yeah, and I left her place one day. I don't know. We'd had a fight, and I was like, "That's it. It's over." And I'm like, literally, go from her flat to my car, and she calls me, and I'm like, "What?"
Right?
And she goes, "I've just cut myself, and I'm bleeding, and I need to go to the hospital." I'm like, "Oh, fuck! What do you do?"
Yeah.
So I have to go back in now and like patch her up and blah. I'm like, "Oh my god, what am I doing? What am I doing?" Right.
Patch her up, quickie. Take her to the hospital.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Quickie at the hospital.
What? In the waiting room.
That's definitely it. Yeah. We're definitely, last I'm definitely time. Out.
Yeah. Except for one more time on the examination table. But that's it. No more. Yeah. So Ludovico's
and
gone.
And if he died one more time in the coroner's autopsy table.
Hey, look.
So one last time. Right. Very last time.
Look me in the eye, officer. Did she or did she not say no? No, she didn't. So I humped her in the morgue.
And then after that, she started dating a friend of mine. And then he proposed to her on the top of the Duomo in Florence. God. Brunelleschi's dome. He proposed to her.
God. He probably meant to throw her off, but he chickened out and proposed.
And then she said yes.
Right.
And then they got married. Aww. And then I started sleeping with her again and she left him. And then fast forward.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, 10, 15 years, I was out of work after the GFC, right?
Yeah.
The podcast collapse and all that kind of stuff. And I was talking to a recruiter that I knew in Melbourne. And she goes, yeah, I've got this job, this company, perfect. I've sent them your CV, not your name, but I've sent them your details. They love it. They totally want to talk to you. They want you to fly down to Melbourne, have a meeting. I said, who's the company? She told me the company. I go, Yeah, nah. That guy ran the company. The ex-husband of the girl.
Your Life. Is a Harlequin romance porn novel.
I'm like,
oh my god.
I'm not getting that job. She goes, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Yeah. And then she rang me like a day later. She goes, what the fuck did you do to this guy? And I go, well, I fucked his wife.
Right. That's exactly what I
did. You know. But in all fairness, right, I was fucking her before she was his wife. That's right. So
my
dick
was there first. It put up the flag. So don't be mad at me.
Yeah.
Where were we?
And she nearly moved to Brisbane. She was getting ready move to Brisbane.
Not good.
And then I met Chrissy and called her up and said, don't bother.
Don't bother. I moved on. Don't bother. Yeah. Now, if you want to have sex, but don't move here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having learned that the population now was not happy with the French, Ludovico hired a mercenary army of Swiss and German soldiers at the beginning of 1500.
This is going to work.
And said he was going to come back.
I'm coming back.
He was going
to. Yeah, the bitch is
come
back.
Come back, baby.
Yeah.
I'll be back, he said.
Right.
But it went south. Right. So he ends up standing up against the French at the Siege of Novara.
Ooh. Right.
And then the Swiss mercenaries that he had just kind of went, we've changed sides. Right.
Damn.
Oh. Yeah, they got bought out. That's the problem with mercenaries, as I've always said.
They're whores.
And the Sforza's worse mercenaries. They should know this better than anyone. Right. Yes, mercenaries are whores.
Yes, with guns.
And you can't, he doesn't have deeper pockets than the King of France at this stage, right?
He doesn't have enough money and he can't out-whore a whore. History teaches us that. So he lost he lost some of his forces. Enough, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not only did he lose, but the Swiss garrison, as they were leaving, they refused to fight, they were leaving.
Right.
They passed a cordon formed by Swiss on the French side.
Right.
And French officers were there to oversee their exit. Sforza was disguised as just a soldier.
Right.
One of the Swiss mercenaries, Hans, recognized him.
Mm-hmm.
And goes, that's Ludovico Sforza. They're like, really?
Yeah.
No way. He had a fake mustache on. He had a big nose.
Glasses.
Groucho Marx glasses. Yeah. It was a plastic nose and a plastic mustache, but he thought, you're in a pinch.
Pretty good.
What are you going to do?
Pretty good.
You're in a pinch.
Yeah.
So he got arrested, Sforza, this is.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how one of the contemporaries wrote about it. Trovulzio, seeing these prisoners, and above all, Signor Ludovico, thinks, oh, reader, what joy! Immediately, having led the Duke to his presence, Jean Giacomo addressed to him, according to Andrea Prato, these contemptuous words. Now you are here, Ludovico Sforza, who, for the sake of a foreigner, Galeazzo Sanseverino, have chased me, your citizen, out, nor if you have chased me away only once, have you again urged the souls of the Milanese to rebel against the royal majesty? Anyway, so he gets arrested. They also, when the French take Milan, they take the Visconti Sforza library that we've talked about over the course of the series that had the collection of Petrarch.
Right.
So that was all now in the hands of the French, the great library of ancient classics that...
Wow.
Well, I also remember when we said that Petrarch, in his will, donated it to the library, everyone just went, whatever, and just sort of dumped them in a pile in the back, right? They're like, fake. He rescued these things from near obliteration and they just went, whatever. And a lot of them got lost anyway. Sforza was taken prisoner to France and the... Emperor, the Holy Roman Emperor, Maximilian, Mad Max himself, urged L12 to free Sforza.
What?
And L12 just went, not feeling it.
Not a good move for me. Yeah.
Refused to free him, refused to even give him an audience. Like the
dick, yeah.
Deepest cut.
Right.
Yeah, no. You're not even worthy of my time. You stole the throne. You refused to give it up. Right. You used your sexy wife to keep it out of my hands for 10 years longer than it should have been.
But now it's not.
But on the flip side, Sforza was allowed to go fishing and receive friends.
Okay, not bad if you like fishing.
Not bad. Yeah.
And you like friends. You have friends. Yeah.
In 1501, there were reports that his brain was wavering a lot and he'd become crazy because of the melancholy of losing his wife and losing his empire and losing Leonardo da Vinci. And they painted over Leonardo's Our Salad painting and, you know.
And the monument to his father. Oh, my God, they fucked that up too. So thanks a lot, Frenchies.
Yeah, they shot arrows at the
clay
model of the horse.
Jeez.
But they weren't sure if he was really going crazy or if he was faking the crazy in order to get more freedom. So the king sent his personal physician to treat him along with, and you'll like this, the court dwarf to cheer him up.
Just in case he really is crazy, let's give him a laugh.
Like, I know.
Let's give him a laugh.
You cheer me up every week when we do this show. So I know, like, you're effectively my court dwarf.
Right. It sounds like a promotion to me.
You cheer me up. I get to how that works. Yeah, there's just something about little people that are funny.
We are cute and funny. You're not wrong.
And funny.
You're not wrong.
And kind of a crime against nature.
Yeah.
Is the way I think of you. Like, you shouldn't exist.
No, but...
Like the platypus.
Right.
You shouldn't exist.
Don't know why he's here, but I'm kind of glad he is. So, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, you're an insult to God that you exist. And proof that he doesn't exist, I guess, at the same time.
Or he's bad at his job. Either way. Either way is fine.
He fucked up.
He fucked up.
He was distracted.
God fucks up occasionally. I don't know what book that's in, but occasionally God fucks up.
A few years later, in 1504, Sforza was moved to a different castle where he was given even more freedom. But then a few years after that, in 1508, he tried to escape.
No, don't see.
And that didn't go well for him. He was deprived of his books, sent to the castle's dungeon. Oh. Where he died in May of 1508.
I don't know how many times I have said this across all of our shows. A good dwarf knows his place. Just get in.
Not the dwarf. Wasn't the dwarf who tried to escape.
No, I'm just telling you. No,
who tried to escape.
I get that, but the point is he should know his place. A dwarf knows his place. He's a prisoner. Don't try to escape. Don't try to act up. You might lose your head. A dwarf could have told him many years ago, hey, buddy, this is your place now. Accept it. Dwarf wisdom. Dwarf wisdom.
Take it from the wisdom of dwarves, that classic from the Middle Ages.
Exactly. Let me know when I can...
But you have to...
Yes, go ahead.
You have to read it. You have to read it in a voice like this. It's a very high voice.
Actually, you want to know something? And no one knows this.
Know your place.
Know your place. No one knows this. That's actually how I sound. And I have to do like 17 different filters to sound like, one, I've got testicles.
Yeah.
Two, they've dropped. And three, they're still attached to my body. Very complicated clauses.
Tyrion Lannister wrote a lot of that book.
He did. Yeah. That's the filter that I'm still looking for. If they ever come out with that filter.
By the way.
Yeah.
I'm making this statement now, so it's on the public record. Yes. I will not watch a single episode of this new Game of Thrones prequel series that's coming out. If you catch me watching it, you have my permission to execute me on the spot.
Okay.
Because they fucked me up the ass without lube once, those guys. I'm not final episode. I'm not going to let them fuck me again. Fuck me once.
Right.
Shame on you. Fuck me again.
Right.
Shame on me.
I think the Australian way to put that is Cam's anus has a long memory. You only get one shot. Don't fuck it up. You know what I'm saying?
And because it's prolapsed now, it's just long.
Oh, and there goes my erection. Thank you. You have cured my 48-hour erection from the blue pill. I took too many.
Did it create it?
I thought they were edibles. Anyway, gone. Thank you.
The Swiss later restored the Duchy of Milan to Ludovico's son, Maximilian Sforza.
Aww. That's nice.
Because, you know, the Swiss giveth and the Swiss taketh away. It's very thwith. The thwith giveth and the thwith taketh
that
away.
That is coffee mug worthy. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah, along with our salad. His other son, Francesco II, also held the Duchy of Milan for a short period.
Right.
He died in 1535, Francesco this is, which created the Italian War of 1536 to 1538.
Right.
In which Milan passed to the Spanish Empire.
Right.
But here's a quote from a book I got my hands on, La Corte di Ludovico il Moro by Francesco Malaguzzi Valeri.
Wow, okay.
Says, in public as well as private life, the figure of Ludovico appears undoubtedly nice, even if he cannot be called a great figure. Good-natured, a lover of pizza, no, peace. Lover of peace and pizza, and quite frankly.
Who is it?
Alien, as far as he could, from those dangerous daring that had made his duchy strong thanks to the initiative of some of his ancestors.
Right.
And powerful and feared his family, for 20 years he devoted almost exclusively its activity in favor of the citizens and its own. Elegant, handsome figure, the poets praised his formosity. Cultured, good writer in the vernacular and in Latin. Witty, encourager of letters. Pleasant orator, lover of happy conversations and of music, certainly more than he was of painting. Passionate farmer and introducer by us of new crops and agricultural industries. Apparently, he's a big fan of agriculture.
Right.
He had a great-grandfather who was a farmer, and he loved farming, and he invested a lot of time and energy and money into improving agriculture in Milan.
Great.
Modern of ideas in wanting provident and liberal laws, his gradario proves it. Ludovico il Moro, if he does not overshadow a commonality of a few years with everything that concerns him, he is, in our view, the most attractive, the most complete figure of a gentleman of the Italian Renaissance.
Total package. Total fucking package. I've never heard the expression passionate farmer. Do you know any, besides pot, do you know any passionate farmers? I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right.
My mate Dion, we went and stayed on his farm up in far north Queensland a few years ago.
Is that when you were encouraged to shoot kangaroos?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just checking. That was the guy.
Yeah.
The guy who wrote that preceding paragraph, Valeri, was an Italian historian, died in 1928. So that he published his full volumes on Ludovico between 1913 and 1923.
Good gracious.
But as I said, like the reputation of Sforza that comes down to us from Machiavelli is not good. And his brother, Galeazzo, the guy that sort of had the falling out with Trivulzio.
Mm-hmm.
He was batshit crazy. Remember, Galeazzo would just torture people for the fuck of it, for fun.
It is fun.
He was mad. Well, yes. Yeah. Well, we know that, but you know, still, it's frowned upon in certain countries.
It's frowned upon getting
caught.
That's why.
It's why your CIA needs to send people to Kabul to get it done. Hey, speaking of which, tip, I only watched the first episode last night, but it looks pretty good. New TV series, The Old Man.
I've heard of it.
Starring Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow, both great actors. Love them. To see them you know, get something of this quality at this stage of their lives, their careers. Jeff Bridges, gathering from the first episode, CIA operative, did something in the late 80s, not sure what, went on the run. He's been MIA.
Oh, wow.
But the CIA have been looking for him. John Lithgow's high up in the CIA. And
that'd be cool.
Now the CIA, he's been hiding for 40 years, 30-odd years, and now they've found him. And he's on the run from the CIA. But he's got some dirt on them as well and blah, 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 blah. But anyway, fucking Jeff Bridges, man.
I could watch him
all day long. He's so good.
Yes.
so good in this is this grizzled, like, you know, he's not the dude. The dude is no longer, right. Hey, man. Yeah. You know, he's transformed. He's a killer.
Yes.
Anyway, it's really, cool. Really, really good. Just to wrap up this episode, so when the French came in, Leo was terrified.
Yes.
That he would lose everything. He hadn't been paid much lately, but the money that he did have, he hid all of his money, mm-hmm. Just in case his studio got destroyed.
Right.
He hid it in holes in the walls, in envelopes and little bags and stuff like that. Turns out his studio didn't get raided and destroyed as those of many of his friends did. The French did destroy the clay model of the horse. As I said before, they used it as target practice.
I would.
But as it turned out, L12, the new king...
Fanboy.
Big fan. He saw the Last Supper. He took one look at it and asked if he could take it back to France. Now, remember, it's painted on a wall.
It's kind of big.
Yeah. Kind of big and on a wall. And his engineers said, no, sorry.
Sorry, Gov. Yeah. Wish we could. Can't.
Yeah, but Louis didn't give up easily on these things. Yeah. You know, he was a thinker. He said, what if we lick it?
Right.
Like, I understand we can't take the wall. Yeah. What if we lick the whole thing and then put a piece of paper over and it? Then,
yes.
And then slowly peel the paper off.
Right.
And then when we get to France, we lick it again and put it on the wall.
A relic.
And then, you know.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm there for the licking. At both ends.
Yeah, listen.
Both ends.
If you don't try.
Right.
Like, and the plague, inject bleach into your lungs.
That's right.
Look, I'm just spitballing.
That's right.
I'm spitballing here.
We have a backup
plan. That's
the
kind of guy I am. Yeah. I'm a stable genius. Okay.
When in doubt, bleach it out. That's all I know. It's worked for me so far.
It's your policy with bloodstains, yeah.
Yes. So the French king was a fanboy.
He was a fanboy. So Leo starts working for the French.
Yes.
He's like, hey, loyalty schmoyalty.
If you pay me,
I don't fucking care.
I'll take your money, your French, whatever.
Yeah, that last motherfucker hadn't paid me for a couple of years. Yeah,
fuck him.
Broken heart. Yeah. Fuck him. So Leo stays in Milan.
Right.
Gets hired as a military engineer to inspect the fortifications for the new count of... the new French governor of Milan, the Count of Ligny.
Yeah.
Ligny, of course, famous to Napoleon nerds.
Right.
In 1815, the Battle of Ligny was where Napoleon achieved his second last ever victory, defeated Blücher, while Wellington and Marshal Ney were going at it at the Battle of Quatre Bras. 2 days later, they all met at the Battle of Waterloo, which was Napoleon's final victory.
Right.
Regardless of what any fucking Brits tell you.
Exactly.
Napoleon won the Battle of Waterloo.
Yes.
Let's be clear on that.
Right.
He won the Battle of Waterloo.
He licked them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it was a close-run thing, but he won the Battle of Waterloo.
But then he
got back to Paris, and he lost Paris.
Right.
And that's why he went.
Right.
He offered himself up. Anyway,
Leo
did end up leaving Milan in 1500 and moved back to Florence.
Yes.
When he heard rumors that Sforza was making a comeback.
I gotta go. He transferred his money because maybe Ludovico would be a little tiny upset with him for working for the French. let me get oust why the oustin's good. So he transfers his money. He loads up all his stuff. He takes his math genius friend and his students and his assistants. And he's like, we outie. And so he gets. And he's been there for 18 years.
He came as a nobody. Right. And just to remind people, when he arrived, he came with a lute that he had built.
That's right. I forgot.
That was it.
Yeah.
Oh, it came with a loot.
What about the letter?
And a CV that said, listen, I'm basically the greatest human being that ever lived.
You want me.
And back then,
he
was confident enough to say, I am.
Yes.
And then before he's leaving, he's like, people say that this Leonardo guy is the greatest.
This guy's awesome. You embarrass yourself if you don't hire him.
But despite the fact that he'd been on some hard times the last couple of years, possibly because of the French invasion and Sforza having a stroke and then a breakdown, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Leonardo leaves as one of the most respected artists slash scientists slash engineers in Italy.
He did a lot.
So it's been a good 18 years, but he's in his late 40s. Now, he came when he was about 30 and he was a nobody. He was broke. He's in his late 40s. Yeah. He's famous and he's got good money, but now he's got to relocate and start all over again. So in the next episode, we will see what happens when he gets back to Florence, Firenze.